Neil Catskill.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the local edition on a Friday evening. I'm your host, Patricio Roballo. Thank you so much for joining me on this program and this evening. We have a full show for you tonight, so let's get straight to it. In the second half of the show, we'll learn about Leonard Pilter and Sheetal Duggan. Leonard is a Native American activist who has been in prison about 50 years. He just recently got commuted by President Biden. We'll find out about his celebration that's coming up this Sunday. But first, we have on the phone with us now the one and only Chris Rowley from the Schwanko Journal. Chris, welcome back to the show. Let's start off with a story I've been reading on the Schwanko Journal's website about some toxic chemicals that's been found in the wastewater in Ellenville. What is this toxic chemicals? How did it get here? What can you tell us?
At the most recent meeting, Mike Ryman, who heads up the wastewater treatment facility in Ellenville, and as always at the Village Board of Trustees meetings, came in with word of the latest event. And this one was well worth our covering and reporting on because he had the exact time that it happened. And what happened was somebody poured chemicals. No, but they're not sure what they were yet because it's gone off to the laboratory. We'll get their report next week. They put chemicals down a drain, presumably a fairly industrial-sized drain because there's a lot of this. And it happened at 12 noon to 12:50 on Friday the 24th. And they noticed it at the wastewater thing when they suddenly started getting foam and bubbles coming out of the effluent, which they check on a regular basis. They have some ports they can look down into it as it's flowing in. And it started to go red and bubbles, lots of bubbles poured out. And I saw some pictures that he had. And it was, yeah, it had really taken on quite a reddish hue. And even though you're looking down into a sewer pipe, you can see the red color. And I thought, what the is that? That is just, and this happens a lot, unfortunately, or fairly often. And this is a real, this is about as low as it gets, as far as I'm concerned. This is like going out and just throwing your garbage out into somebody's street and then driving away. It's that, it's really, it's evil. Because, okay, you got rid of the chemicals that you had stashed in that drum there. They're gone. Oh, hooray. They're not gone. They're now in your villages or your town's wastewater treatment plant, and they're killing off the bacteria that are essential in that wastewater treatment plant to treating all the sewage that comes in there. And beyond that, there's a much bigger problem because the wastewater treatment plant has to make sure that it doesn't put that kind of toxic stuff out into the stream, because all of our wastewater treatment plants, in the end, what they do is they purify and clean up the water, remove the solids, and put it all out into a stream when it's safe to go. If it's loaded with some toxic chemical, they can't do that. What are they going to do? And this is a problem. So somebody blithely pours this kind of stuff down into a drain, right, puts it down a drain, and then turns around and walks away. I've got a lot of nice English curse words for that person, and I can't use them on the radio, but they deserve that because, yeah, really, that is awful. That is the worst sort of behavior. Anyway, so
and I'm glad you said that, because that is a point that that might, maybe people might not know about, is that the all our wastewater treatment systems go all out back to the rivers and streams here, and they have heavy duty filters and chemicals that have to clean the water to make it purified as best as they can.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and we know there was that recent thing only 5-6 years ago at the resort at the casino where they had put stuff into the water, and it caused a terrible problem. But, and of course, everyone has to remember that it's not just that the village is concerned about this. The New York State DEC is highly concerned. They are, their job is to protect the waters, and they are committed, impassioned bureaucrats with an enormous power. And if your wastewater treatment facility is caught routinely or more than once putting poison into the river, they will come down like a ton of bricks. And they have a fine that they can levy on a municipality that runs up to $37,500 a day.
Yeah.
There's not a single not even a big place like Milltown, nothing like that could handle that for very long. It would just destroy your budget. And they don't necessarily do the 37,500 a day. They can do 20,000 a day, 10,000. They can actually, you know, work it out to just a level of pain that they think that a certain budget can handle. Well, Ellenville's budget can't handle any. So they really, this is a really serious thing. And Ellenville Wastewater has been caught a couple of times at a problem with toxics and fined in the last couple of years. And Mike Ryman, the head guy there, is almost apoplectic about that. It's like they do their damnedest to clean the water, to conform to the rules, everything they possibly can, because the fines are expensive and they need to be in a good relationship with DEC and EPA too. EPA hovers in the background behind all this as well. It's enough to make you want to scream, yeah. They're moving from just screaming to kind of defense. What they're going to do is they're going to start doing manhole surveys. They open a manhole and test the water in that manhole. If they trace something, they find a tiny trace of some chemical, they'll go up the stream from that manhole to the next, and then to the next, then to the next. And eventually, after a while, if they do enough of this, they will track it down to its source. And at that point, they can come in and look for the chemicals. They find the chemicals, then they got them, they'll nail them, and they've got some heavy fines. I think they can get fines up to $5,000, but there may be even more they can do. Oh, and there's a prison sentence as well. I believe there is a 6-month prison sentence as well in the background. At least the village is doing its damnedest to do something about it. The sewer department is moving on to that foot, and we'll try to get something done about it. And in the meantime, if anybody knows anybody who's doing this kind of thing, tell them to stop. I mean, tell them to face up to the fact that if you've got a container of something awful, you need to use the proper procedures and dispose of it correctly. Anything else is basically you're hurting your neighbors, you're hurting your children, you're hurting your community.
We'll definitely be hurting the community with those chemicals. Thank you for that story, Chris. Let's move on to another story about a organization that helps folks who are dealing with domestic abuse. What can you tell us on that?
I'm just done this week, and we'll be running quite soon up on, probably online, and then next week's paper, is did an interview with Andrea Rodriguez. She's with Woodstock Family, or Family of Woodstock, Family of Ellenville, and she runs the Evolve program. And this has been going a long time. I wasn't aware of it, that it's been going for 40 years. Basically, Evolve is about domestic violence. It's about providing a safe space where people who have violent tendencies explore and reflect on those tendencies and their behaviors and get them help. I know from talking to police in Ellenville and elsewhere that domestics are a very common problem. It's very difficult to break the relationship that brings that on, and it can lead to somebody going away to prison for the rest of their life. It can lead to a crime. That, you know, it is a crime to beat up your partner. That is a crime. If she or he reports it, you can be in real serious trouble. Evolve is about getting you off that track, getting you away from that, getting you to see what you're doing and why, getting right into that psychology of what it is about being frustrated, about being unhappy, whatever, and get it to another place. They had to stop during the pandemic, had to stop their meetings, but they've resumed, and they have them now in Ellenville on Mondays. It's between 6 and 7:30 at Family of Ellenville, which is down the eastern end of the village. You can find their phone number online or in the book. And basically, people can volunteer, just show up. Other than that, they get referrals from courts and from the probation service. So. Which is kind of what you'd expect.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the course is 33 meetings, which is quite a lot. It's a lot, but what it basically means is you're like almost 2/3 of a year, you're going to be going to these meetings, and it should have an effect. As you go, you'll get deeper and deeper into your behaviors and your issues. And there are various aspects of the program that it's a sophisticated program. They know what they're doing. They'll be able to kind of help you lift the lid and look inside and understand yourself, which is what it often takes. And many of us, me, I know, I could really use help with lifting the lid sometimes and seeing past all the very busy stuff that goes on and actually seeing what's got really happening here.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's that program. And it is astonishing that here we are in the 21st century, the age of space travel, AI is coming and all the rest of it. And we still have this problem of brutality in personal relationships, domestic violence. It's ridiculous, but it comes with a violent past. It's where we're at.
It takes me back to when I was hearing stories during the pandemic of everyone was transitioning to homework. There was some folks who were trapped in their house with their abuser. And that was just heartbreaking to hear some of those stories.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think it's a pretty terrible aspect of the whole pandemic thing. And Evolve has a series of things to pack. I've got a little list of them here. Yeah. The first thing is to be able to show your feelings and express fear other than through this anger thing. And we know a lot of people are really stuck on machismo and being macho. They can't show feelings. Doesn't matter what happens. You hit them, they don't react except to hit you back. You know what I mean? Yeah. They got to be able to feel that it's okay to ask for help. That isn't a sign of weakness. It's a sign of being aware. Yeah. And also to be able to ask for what they want without becoming violent. And also reject stereotypes of how they're supposed to be. Men are not just supposed to be blocks of granite that move around slowly and would never say anything. And that's not what men are really about. They have to reject those sort of stereotypes and be able to deal with people as they really are.
Right.
And that can be tough. If you've grown up and that's the world you've inhabited, hey, it's hard to break out of that and get into being a real human being. And that's the thing. And then also how to express frustration or disappointment and anxiety, which is huge, without becoming violent.
Right.
And there's one group in all of our towns, or especially in villages like Allenville, that's going to be really grateful if you have this problem and you get it taken care of, and that'll be the police. Because police are called to domestic abuse cases all the time, and they fear and hate them. It's often the worst part of the job. People are off in such a rage. They've gone into a red haze. They attack the cops. The police are just there because it's been reported that there's screaming and violence going on. And the response is that they get attacked.
Yeah.
And it can come from any direction. The police would be really grateful if you took care of that and they didn't have to come and deal with it themselves.
Yeah.
So there's that. So anyway, the Evolve groups, they're mostly in Kingston, but Allenville has one now on Mondays at Family of Allenville. And it's something that really people need to go and take care. And yeah, okay, if you live in the village, fine. But they'll take people from Wawarsing, wherever. If you live outside the village, don't worry about it. You can still get down there and take part if you have this problem. So there's that story. We did that and I talked to Andrea, and we'll be talking to her about some other stuff as well. And then the other story I had is a bit on the brighter side, mm-hmm. is about this group called Coffee. And that is Citizens of Forward Facing Allenville, bringing Allenville back to life. And this basically is a group that's good. I think it's almost unique that has come together from newcomers to the village who came up basically because of the pandemic. Maybe some of them came before that, actually, but they've come to the pandemic. They're all in Allenville now, and they're making changes. Or they're trying to help the village overcome some of its problems. And they're really beginning to have an effect. They've got about 150 members in Coffee. They meet once a month. And I think they're basically what Victoria Messner, who's the current president of Coffee, said. The question was, how do we get people excited to live in and to visit Allenville? And efforts were already being made. It wasn't like Allenville was just quietly dying. It wasn't. But they really did inject an extra level of energy into all of that. And she said, how do we change the narrative from finding Allenville, which implied Allenville was lost, or rising Allenville, which implied Allenville was down, to destination Allenville? They wanted Allenville and Wawarsing residents to be proud of and excited for Allenville. And they've got a lot of good things going. For instance, the farmer's market, which they started in 2022. And it really became, in that summer, a series of parties these monthly parties. All these people came in. They were, a lot of them were not from Annabelle. They were from towns up and down the Rondell Valley, over in Sullivan County. They all came. There was a kind of a gathering. And many people knew each other from Brooklyn. That was one of the things that struck me, that this was a real gathering of people who had already known each other but in Brooklyn, and now they were meeting up again here in out here in the country. And that was really good. But beyond this, that sort of social thing, which continues, they have got some really serious stuff going too. For instance, a couple in that group managed to score a $15,000 grant for a feasibility study on a community center, a youth center in Annabelle, which is something that community in Annabelle has asked for a long time. They had one once upon a time, but I think there was an issue with staffing and the budget couldn't support it. But now it's they're back and they're really looking hard at it. And I think this is going to work. They've got a couple of buildings targeted that they might be able to use. We'll see about that. I don't know really what the state of those buildings is, but we'll find out. That's one issue that would be very helpful, to have a place where youngsters can go, where they can have games, sports, whatever, and somewhere to go in after school, in the evenings. There would be a huge valve, a release valve for a lot of energies, and would help on a little bit of juvenile delinquency. It would help. So that kind of thing. And another thing that they're doing right now, one of them is heroically taking on the task of trying to create a dog park in Ellenville. They've identified a place where it can be. And very smartly, they rescued and saved the chain link fence that came down off the basketball courts and tennis courts, which were just being redone and had new fencing go up. But they kept the old fencing because chain link fence is very expensive. And they'll reuse that to fence in this dog park and create two areas, a small dog area and a large dog area. It's not completely agreed there yet, but it's very close, and I think they will get it. And that will be another measurable amenity for the village to get. It's that sort of thing that the village needs and that the community needs, and that this group is working on it. And then on the other side, several of them are artists, photographers, artists, painters, sculptors, and so they have a natural tendency that way. And they've had artists meet and greet events with artists, and they've had some art shows, and there'll be more of that too. And anything, in my mind, anything that encourages visual arts in a village like Annabelle is great. And I note that the kids at Annabelle High School produce a lot of really high quality stuff. I see their art show every year, which is held in the Hunt Memorial Building. And I've been impressed every time by several pieces. Each time, a tremendous amount of work has gone into them, and they are really excellent. There can be a junction there where we have these people who are, you know, older, already established artists, meet and greet. And I'm hoping they can draw some of that youthful energy in as well. And the two things can meld together. It would be very useful, very helpful to the village. Anyway, and then we should just know Market on Market, that's the farmer's market, will be back at the old location at Center and Market Street starting mid-June. It will run there'll be 22 markets this year, and they'll run all the way to mid-October. But they won't go past mid-October because it gets too cold. People don't want to go out. Right. Shop for vegetables and liquor and stuff.
Up here in Sullivan County, we have indoor farmers markets. I know the town of Calicoon has their farmers markets, and they have it indoors. It's fun, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. I don't know. I know somebody who has bought a large building in Elville that's currently just sitting there not doing anything, but it needs some work. But maybe he can be persuaded to open it up for that. But yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
Yeah.
I mean, the farmers shopping for vegetables, I think, at the farmer's market, one, the produce is fresh. Mm. It's as fresh as it gets. It was like often it was harvested that very morning. There really is a difference between carrots and spinach or whatever that's that fresh and what you get in the shop. That's the first thing. Second thing is you're with people, you're moving around as a group, you meet people again, you're having conversations. There's a sort of a fun festival aspect to it, which is a lot of fun. And then there's some music going, and you're hearing about things, and you're hearing about events and stuff like that, which is all worthwhile. It's all part of a village experience, which is something that human beings actually like. A community is something people actually like. I know there are people who don't like anybody and want to live alone. But that's Robinson Crusoe time. Good luck. All right. Bye-bye. You know? But most people really do enjoy having a community experience, feeling a crowd around them that's all engaged in the same thing, shopping for stuff. So anyway, that's going to be back. Market on Market, we'll be back mid-June, and coffee continues, and they'll be getting up to more stuff as well. Okay, so, all right, that's all I got really this week.
Chris, you said it all. It was you gave us the full gamut there. We went from toxic chemicals to domestic violence all the way to social groups. We'll talk to Chris Rowley from the Schwankirk Journal, letting us know what's happening in Ellenville and Ulster County. Chris, until next week, we'll talk to you soon. Coming right up, we'll have a conversation with Sheila Duggan about a celebration that's coming up about a Native American activist. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Local Edition. And I'm your host, Patricio Roballo. Get up, stand up.
Stand up for... You're listening to The Local Edition, winner of Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
Even though I know for a fact there are a whole bunch of Republicans who, if it was a private secret vote, would vote against en masse many of these nominees that he's put up, they won't dare do it in a public setting under the gaze of Donald Trump.
I'm Michael Barbaro. That's today on The Daily from The New York Times.
I'm Cassie of Rare Pair Radio. It's a weekly showcase of primarily female artists, but also a wide range of avant-garde musicians, the fruit of post-punk, experimental, and fringe music.
Your eyes are set on stars. I love to see you shine because you really blow my mind.
Rare Pair Radio, Friday at 8 p.m.
Welcome back to The Local Edition on a Friday evening. I'm your host, Patricio Roballo. We have a new story for you. It was played earlier this today on Chatsco. I want to play for you tonight on The Local Edition. It's from our newest news intern, Miguel Santiago Colon. He was able to speak to Sheila Duggan of Mainville, PA, who will be the guest of honor for a celebration that's happening on Sunday. The celebration is for Leonard Peltier, the indigenous activist whose sentence was commuted by former President Biden on January 19th. He was active in the American Indian Movement and was sentenced to life in prison after the murders of two FBI agents in 1975 at the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota. While he would not be relocated to house arrest until next month, like I said, the local celebration is to commemorate his clemency. Will take place again this Sunday in Damascus, PA. The celebration on Sunday will feature one of his former lawyers, Sheila Duggan, like I said. Radio Catskills' Miguel Santiago Colon spoke with her about her long quest for justice for Peltier.
50 years after being sentenced to life in prison for the deaths of two FBI agents in 1975, Leonard Peltier will be relocated to home confinement after having his sentence commuted by former President Biden. And although he won't be relocated until February 18 at most, an event is already scheduled to celebrate his clemency after decades of grassroots efforts in his favor. The event will have Sheila Duggan as a guest of honor. She worked as Peltier's lawyer 30 years ago. Now in her 80s, Duggan shared with me that she's ready to finally see him in person.
I just cried. It was so touching. It was just so touching. I mean, you know... And why he did it? Why did Biden lose his sentence? Because he was leaving. He was leaving office. He decided to do this as his last thing, just to show Trump that he could do it. You know, and maybe good for him.
She reacted that way while recounting the time she heard of Peltier's commutation, something that's been fought for by Native American activists, communities, and organizations since he was imprisoned. Dugan, on her behalf, was involved in the judicial process and with filing court motions for him for 2 years. Biden's commutation came after many efforts to sway sitting presidents for it, including Barack Obama and Bill Clinton. Dugan also mentioned that the decision came at a time while Peltier's health was declining.
Yeah, I was a lawyer at the time, and I had my own practice. So I decided to investigate the trial of Leonard Peltier, which I was curious about. So I went to see him in Florida in prison. And we talked for, I would say 2 years. You know, I knew him for about 2 years and talked to Dick, wrote motions for him, and they were all denied. It was really important. And everybody was signing, you know, papers and asking, I think, 5 presidents over the 50 years. And nobody did anything except Biden. And it was just really touching. I don't know how Leonard heard about it, you know, how he felt when he heard about it. It must have touched him really a lot. You know, he's not well. He's not well at all. And he was 30 years old when I met him. I mean, in his 30s, not 30, but, you know, close to sure 30. And so was I. And now he's old, very old. He's 80 years old now and has rheumatism and just one thing after another. And he was interviewed, and he was just not well at all and hurting and just, you know, he's not going to be well.
As part of Biden's commutation, Peltier will be transferred to house arrest scheduled tentatively for next month. However, his clemency celebrations will take place this weekend. The potluck brunch will be held this Sunday from 12:30 to 4 in the afternoon at the Damascus Manor Community Center in Damascus, Pennsylvania. Although Dugan has not spoken with Leonard Peltier ever since handling the case, this is what she said when I asked her if she wanted to send him a message.
Oh, I would tell him, congratulations, Leonard. I knew you'd make it. Let's see. I hope to see you someday soon. We both made it. Yes, I've got this painting. Leonard did that in prison. You know, he still paints. And he did that and he gave it to me as a thank you for me. So I was really pleased with that. And I brought it here to just show you what it is. And I'll bring that to the gathering.
Peltier's celebration this Sunday will be free, and guests are encouraged to bring a dish for the potluck. In Liberty, I'm Miguel Santiago Colón for Radio Catskill.
And that does it for The Local Edition. I've been your host, Patricio Roballo. Thank you to Miguel Santiago Colón for that report. If you ever miss a show, guess what? We have a podcast. You can find us anywhere you find your favorite podcast. Visit our website, wjffradio.org, to see the stories that we have done this past week. You can also sign up for our newsletter and get all the news and all the interviews right into your inbox every Friday. We'll be back on Monday on The Local Edition. We'll be speaking to New York Focus and break down more things that came out of the state of the state. And this time we'll be tackling the criminal justice system. Lucy, have a good night. Everyone else, take care of yourself. Be safe. And I'll talk to you soon.
Radio Catskill supporters include Wayne Memorial Hospital, a certified primary stroke center and a level 4 trauma center. Wayne Memorial now offers 7 physician specialties, including urology and gastroenterology, on its Honesdale, Pennsylvania campus. More information at wmh.org. And from the River Reporter newspaper, riverreporter.com. And listeners like you who donate at wjffradio.org. WJFF Jeffersonville. This is Radio Catskill. Local news, culture, and NPR.